Psalm 80. This is for the choir director, set to El Shoshanim Edoth, a psalm of Asaph. O give ear, shepherd of Israel, O thou who dost lead Joseph like a flock. Thou who art enthroned above the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin, Manasseh, stir up thy power and come to save us. O God, restore us and cause thy face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with the prayer of your people? Thou hast fed them with the bread of tears, and hast made them to drink tears in large measure. Thou dost make us an object of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. O God of hosts, restore us, and cause thy face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. You didst remove a vine from Egypt, you didst drive out the nations and plant it. And thou didst clear the ground before it, and took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shadow, and the cedars of God with its boughs. It was sending out its branches to the sea, and its shoots to the river. Why hast thou broken down its hedges, and so that all who pass that way pick its fruit? A boar from the forest eats it away, and whatever moves in the field feeds on it. O God of hosts, turn again now, we beseech thee, look down from heaven and see, and take care of this vine, even the shoot which thy right hand has planted, and on the son whom thou hast strengthened for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou didst make strong for thyself. Then he shall not turn back from thee. Revive us, and we will call upon thy name. O Lord God of hosts, restore us. Cause thy face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. Amen. Can you turn the lights on in the sanctuary a little bit more? Out there, it's a little dark. Oh, you know what? The side lights are not on, that's why. There we go. Okay. All right, Psalm 80 says it's set to the El Shoshanim, which is the translation of lilies. And so it could have been that this is meant to be a very beautiful song, and so it's set to that. There's a few of those that are through the scriptures where it says set to lilies. There's probably a deep meaning that I don't know exactly what it is, but there's something to that. And so Asaph is again... Now, Psalm 80 is probably, again, a later Asaph, because he seems to be talking about something that happens a little bit later on, you know, particularly with the northern kingdom. Do you remember Israel was divided into northern and southern kingdom? And so this seems to allude to a struggle to set free the northern kingdom from captivity. And so so he starts off and he says, give ear, shepherd of Israel, those who dost lead Joseph like a flock. And so we know that they're primarily talking about, now one, Joseph, when that phrase was used, it could depict all of Israel. But then later on, we see that he's talking about Ephraim, Benjamin, Manasseh, and these things. And so now we know we're talking more about northern kingdom. The tribes of Joseph, in particular, would have been Manasseh and Ephraim. And so we see that there is some connection there, thus the alluding to these events that take place in the future that happens. And he says, you are enthroned, you are God, all these things. And then the refrain, and we'll hear this refrain a few times in verse 3, O God, restore us. Cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. This phrase actually, parts of this phrase was what Charles Spurgeon actually said, the recipe for revival. In other words, what we should be praying for when we ask God to come and bring revival, we should be coming, asking first for restoration. You know, God comes, restores us. You know, we move in the place of repentance. We change and are transformed. And when we come into that place, then God's face starts shining. You know, this is the presence, the glory, all these things. And he says that's basically how revival starts. And so if you think about it, maybe a good prayer for us would be to pray that, oh God, restore us. Right? Oh God, you know, it's another way of saying save us. Oh God, change us. Oh God, transform us in some way. And so we see how these things kind of come together in this place. And then in verse 4, he says, O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with the prayer of thy people? And so again, as we talked about it yesterday a little bit, notice that when Asaph is writing these things, he's very aware of the justification of God's anger. He's not asking the question, why are you angry with us? He's just saying how long. In other words, God, you are justified in this. And if you read through history, you remember God sends people to warn prophets, sends people to warn, to lead people into repentance and saying, hey, the time is at hand. This is the time. We have to turn back from the world. We got to turn to God. And just over and over and over again, and the people disregard what the prophets have said, just totally disregard the message of God. And then after a while, God says, okay, I'll just, you know, you basically are given over to your own sinfulness. So very much a kind of a Romans 1 kind of scenario. And so, you know, Romans 1 says he gave them over to their desires and said, okay, you want to live like this? Here's the consequences of living this kind of way. And so these guys ask the question, Lord, how long? Not why, but how long? Again, how long will you be angry with the prayer of thy people? And this is, this added element, can you imagine? What Asaph is saying is that even our prayers have really no weight. Even the words that we utter up to the Lord really have no weight. And, you know, to be honest, if you really think about it, if you are just enveloped and wrapped in sin, and then you ask God, I'll give you an example. This is what I tell single people all the time, okay, or people that are dating. I said, hey, it would be ridiculous for us to ask God to bless our relationship, in our dating relationship, when you're violating everything that God says, the way you're supposed to conduct yourself in a relationship. With your mouth, you're saying, God, would you bless my relationship? But within your hands and your mouth and everything else part of your body, you're totally violating what God says will bring about a healthy relationship. And in that way, our prayers are quite muted. You guys can understand that, right? I mean, just look at it in business. I mean, you own a company and you say, God, would you bless my business? You know, would you bless these things? Would you help us to, you know, make profit in these things? And yet you're cheating your customers. You know, you're cheating your employees. You're not paying them on time. You know, and sometimes you're just robbing them in that way. And so all of your business practices are evil. And so then in that way, and you turn to the Lord and say, God, bless my business. It's kind of like, huh? It doesn't make any sense. And then you can understand what the psalmist is saying here. Lord, how long will you be angry with the prayer of thy people? The prayers just become mute in many ways. Because the very way that you live your life is such a contradiction to actually what you want God to do. And then the reality is, if you really want God to bless your business or bless your relationship, right, it goes hand in hand with the way that God wants you to run your business or God wants you to relate in your relationship. This is like this, just simply doing this will bring this blessing down from heaven upon our lives. But there's a disconnect that happens, and we just think that, okay, I'm doing all this stuff, and so, Lord, this is like some magic formula. If I pray to bless, you're going to come and bypass or overlook all these things. And God doesn't do that because he's a holy God. Now, God is gracious. You know, he comes and he brings conviction so that we can change these things so that really the blessing of God can really flow down. I mean, it's really, really important that we understand that. And that's what these guys are feeling. They're recognizing, man, our prayers are, in this way, are quite meaningless. And part of it is because that we're really not living up to the very things, the simple things that God has for us. And so he says, you have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them to drink tears in large measure. This would be very similar to the psalmist that say that all night long I drink and feed off my tears. In other words, there's great sorrow that's happening here. And I mean, that's what happens. You know, I mean, if I could just, you know, just make a short little commentary. It's okay that Christians cry. It's okay that sometimes that we move in a little bit of sadness. Because, I mean, what are those things? I mean, how are we will be able to turn away from the world and turn to God? If we go about in this life and we just want a pain-free life, and I mean, because we're sinful people, because we're broken people, and we live in a sinful, broken world, there's going to be an amount of pain and suffering that comes a part of us. The reality is when we're in that place, God promises to be with us in that space. You know, I mean, that's the blessing of the Lord. We're not left alone, and he creates a way out that we can stand up under it. But to try to live a life that's pain-free is non-existent on many ways. But at the same time, sometimes this sadness, I mean, actually creates an opportunity, you know, for us to you know, be well in this way. You know, there's this you know, whole idea about hurt, right? You know, and you know what? It's okay to hurt. Because sometimes what that does, it creates an avenue for us to go back to the Lord. You know, sometimes it's okay to feel bad about certain things. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, you know, I mean, shame is not a good thing. I mean, for sure. I you know, we don't want to get away from that at all. But sometimes, you know, being convicted, sometimes it could feel like that at times. And if we don't have those opportunities, you know, if there's not a conviction that comes, and you know, some people, you know, talk about, oh, I didn't feel spiritual or something like that. Well, sometimes when that happens, that's good, because then it has us come to really reflect and look at our life, and maybe we realize, oh, you know what, I'm not in the place that I need to be, and we turn to God. I mean, that's the whole point of all of these things. And stuff, and so don't. I mean, don't be alarmed. The simple fact that the Israelites came to this place and they had to drink and feed the bread of tears and drink the drink of tears, actually was a good thing, because what it did, it woke them up. You know, they were drifting away, and now these troubles brought them back to the Lord. Brought them back into relationship, and then brought them back into the blessing of God that would lead to all the different aspects of their life. And so, you know, I would say that sometimes these are not bad things. You know, sometimes these are, I mean, they're painful, and I mean, wouldn't want to wish this on anybody, but the heart is deceptively wicked. You know, when we can't right the course ourselves, sometimes it really takes God to lead us into some space that we have to turn. You know, sometimes it's so painful that that's our only recourse. And then we go back to this depth of relationship with God. And he says, well, I'll just continue on. And he says, it makes us an object of contention to our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. O Lord of hosts, this is going back, restore us. Cause thy face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. It's that chorus again in this place. And he says, Lord, you remove a vine from Egypt. A vine was always the picture of the Israelites. And if you think about it, it's actually quite a perfect picture. Notice it's not the oak tree, you know, something that can build and stand on their own. The vine needs to be supported. The vine needs to be pruned. The vine needs to be taken care of. A vine left alone is useless. right? But a vine with a gardener is able to support and care for it. Man, beautiful fruit comes out of it. And so when the writers talk about the vine, or the Israelites refer themselves as a vine, the heart and the idea, they realize that a vine is, it can only last. A vine can only be bountiful and fruitful if a gardener tends to it. And it's really their way of saying that we really need God. As a nation, we will not flourish if God is not our vine dresser. As a nation, we will not prosper, and we will not bear any fruit whatsoever unless God actually takes care of us. And so if you think about it, the vine is really the perfect illustration to depict what Israel is. You know, and he's saying, Lord, you drove out the nation. You took us from Egypt. Remember, always going back to the Exodus story. The Exodus story is the prime example of God's faithfulness. And so, Lord, you drove out the nations. You know, you set them in the promised land. You planted us in this place. You cleared the ground. You took deep root. You filled the land. Mountains were covered with the shadow, the cedars of God with his boughs. It was sending out its branches to the sea, to the shoots of the river. It just talks about the dominion, really, of the Israelites during that time, particularly during the reign of David and Solomon. And so it's going back to that place of glory where, I mean, they were as far as the Euphrates, you know, across the sea, all these different things. And so then it says, why have you broken down its hedges? So all who pass that way pick its fruit. A boar from the forest eats it away, and whatever moves in the field feeds on it. A boar is probably indicative of the nation that is coming after Israel during this time. And so he turns back, O God, 14, O God of hosts, turn again now, we beseech thee. Look down from heaven and see and take care of this vine. They're calling out to the Lord. Even the shoot which thy right hand has planted, and on the son whom thou hast strengthened for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou didst make strong for thyself. Then we shall not turn back from thee. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. O Lord God of hosts, restore us. Cause thy face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. It's a twofold thing. One, Asaph is talking about the king that's here in the northern kingdom. But also, you can see in this language, Asaph is referring to the King of Kings, the Son of Man that will come. And so there's a prophetic language that's being used. And Asaph, he's now, you know, singing this song prophetically. He's seeing that the ultimate salvation, you know, of his face shining down upon us will be established through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see a prophetic projection that takes place in that place. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let's reflect. Is God warning you today about something? And are you listening? Is God speaking to you? Is God convicting you? Because see, what happens is the conviction of God comes and we don't respond. We don't answer. And then what happens is we fall deeper and deeper into that sin. But is God convicting you of something? Has he sent the prophets? Has he sent people your way to warn you? Has he sent the Holy Spirit to bring that conviction? And are you responding? See, brothers and sisters, none of us are perfect. We're all prone to wander. God knows that. He's not interested in perfection. He's interested in faithfulness. So when that conviction comes, are we turning and are we moving forward? Are we turning to God? I want to invite you this morning, if there is a conviction happening within you, please respond to the Lord in that way.
much can say I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Let's pray this morning. Let's respond to the conviction of the Lord. Let's respond to just the warnings, the grace that comes from God. Let's be attentive to His voice. Let's be sensitive in our hearts. And let our bodies be willing to obey what He asks us to. Go to our communion prayer. Sorry, the screens are not working, so let me just lay it out here for you. Those that are going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery, let's pray for Yuju Lee, Hazel Low, Ingrid, Isaac Chung, Mia Febrero, Pinate's cousin Jeanette, Christine Kim's mother, Kiwon Chung's mother, and Terry's father. They're all dealing with some form of cancer. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for Sally G's friend, Andrew Adler, Archie Lin's friend's daughter, Angie Lung's father, Tim Tang's father, Cadence and Rainy Lam's aunt, Sandeep's father and mother, Vincent Cheng's father, Jackie Lam's mother, Daniel Lau's father, Christina Chung's friend's mom, Mon's friend Catherine, and Iris's aunt Jing Zhang. So they're all dealing with some illness, but they're all not believers. So let's pray that God would heal them and God would save them. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Pray for Polly's sister Betsy, Chungmin's mother, Chungmin's nephew Sung Moon, Tim Tang's godmother and a friend, Carmen Wong's cousin Kim, and Ingrid's son's sister-in-law. Now let's just pray for God's healing. Thank you. Let's pray for our community that's battling COVID. Let's pray for Pastor Kenny's helpers. Let's pray for Diego and Caleb and Verity. Let's also pray for our frontline medical workers, Abby, Amy, Christy, Eugenia, Jackie, Jay, Janet, JJ, Lawrence, Lynn, Peter, and Vanessa. Let's cover them. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for Sterling and Catherine. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's pray for SPBJ. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and the team. Let's pray for SPSH, for Pastor Ricky and his team there and his family. Let's ask God to really use our leadership there to really build his church in this country. Even in the midst of a lot of uncertainty, a lot of regulation, let's just cover them. Let's also pray for the Chung family as they minister in and out of the country. Also, let's just lift up churches all over that the gospel be preached powerfully. Let's pray for the board. Let's ask God's hand upon our leaders. Be myself, Pine, Kiwon, Sue, Xiaoming, Janie, Jung, Amanda, and Monica as the secretary. Let's pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to come over. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries, our young adults, our men's ministry, our women's ministry. Let's pray that as they gather together in their different classes and meetings, that they would really connect with God and connect with each other. Let's continue to pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for building and resources. Pray for a benefactor. Pray over the vision fund. Let's just ask the Lord to continue to provide for our church. Let's pray for the pregnant women in our church right now. Let's pray for Hina and others. Let's pray for protection. Let's pray the baby would be growing strong and mighty in the womb. Let's pray for the health of the mother and just the whole family, that this would be a really blessed time. Let's pray for house church meeting tonight. Blue Pool, Chaiti, Fortress, Gia, New Conduit, TST, Westfield, and King's Court. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, and our leaders will be equipped and anointed to lead and to care for the sheep. Let's just pray for a wonderful time tonight. This morning, Lord, I pray, God, that we would be sensitive to your voice, God, that we'd be alert to your direction. Lord, when you see things in our life, God, Lord, I'm reminded of David's prayer in Psalm 139, search me and try me, O God, and see if there be any hurtful thing within me, and lead me in the everlasting way. We pray that we'd have that same attitude, God. Lord, that we are open to being corrected, to being edited, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit, God, and we do want, God, to live the blessed life, Lord. And so would you help us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Watch over us today. Help us to give your Son all the glory that he deserves, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.